Previously on Don't Go There.
A gunshot, screaming. Then...
You bustian! Break my window! Mess with my babies!
Watch it.
Point a gun at me, get blood all over everywhere!
Calm down!
He turns around. The wheelchair is empty. Effie is gone.
From St. Louis Public Radio, in partnership with the Missouri Film Office.
All right. And ladies and gentlemen, we are back live.
This is Lights, and Audio, Action.
Action!
He turns around. The wheelchair is empty. Effie is gone. He runs to the living room, where Effie stabs him with the sewing scissors. The blades land just above his collarbone and stick.
You friggin' stabbed me!
Verge hits the floor. He screams,
covers
his wound with his dead hand. Blood pours between his fingers. He draws his gun. He can't grip it. It falls out of reach. Effie kicks it across the floor. She scoops it up and aims it at his head.
Get out of my house!
Verge cries out in pain.
Hear me? Out now.
He hollers out, kicks his legs on the hardwood.
I didn't hurt you.
You got 3 seconds. One.
I fixed your window.
Two.
He howls again. He's in a world of hurt.
Three.
She aims at his head and pulls the trigger. She tries again.
I used all my rounds at the lodge.
But you said you shoot me. You said you shoot Judith.
You said you couldn't walk.
She stops, takes a breath.
I never said that. When I heard you break in, I just got out of Tommy's old chair because...
Yeah, got it.
She lays the gun on top of the TV.
I never imagined you'd already killed 4 women.
3.
Excuse me.
Your friend was wrong. I didn't kill 4, just 3.
He tries to pull out the scissors.
Don't.
He doesn't listen.
Leave them there. You'll bleed out.
That's what you want, ain't it?
Not on my floor.
He moves his hand away from the scissors. Effie watches blood trickle from his neck.
Stay right there.
She disappears into the kitchen. Verge hears water running. Effie returns with a wet rag. She kneels beside him.
Thank you.
And wipes his blood off the hardwood floor.
Shoot, it's gonna stain.
She throws the rag at him.
Keep the scissors in and apply direct pressure. If you stay quiet, I might stitch you up.
He holds the rag to the wound. He looks at Effie, the empty wheelchair. The front door.
Why ain't you running?
Quiet, I said.
I ain't keeping you. Your legs work, so go. Get out of here. Tell the cops you slayed the beast.
Want me to stab you again?
Why are you still here, Effie?
It's my house.
And it'll stay your house. But why on earth ain't you going for help now?
Effie glares at him, his neck still bleeding. She marches down the hall and returns with a bottle of rubbing alcohol, some fabric cuttings, and a sewing kit. She pours alcohol on a piece of fabric.
Now, I'm warning you, this will sting like the devil.
He cringes.
Keep still. I'll sew you up, but this'll hurt to beat the band.
It already hurts.
She wipes down the area around his wound. The alcohol stings. His eyes water. He kicks his feet.
Hold still.
Effie threads a needle from her sewing kit.
That left hand of yours. You truly can't feel nothing at all?
Told you. It's dead.
Then you best bite down on it.
She removes the scissors and applies pressure on the wound. She eases the needle under the skin to stitch him up. Verge winces, kicks, and howls.
Bite down.
Verge sinks his teeth into his bad hand. He thrashes and squirms as she sews him up. After the last stitch, she pulls the thread until it snaps.
Hang on, I'm just about done.
She wipes his neck and her hands with the fabric squares. The bleeding has stopped, but Verge is exhausted.
I didn't even get the blade that far in. Next time I stab you, it'll be a lot worse.
Next time?
This time should have been worse. I wasted these perfectly good fat quarters on you.
She gathers up the bloody fabric scraps and wipes her scissors down. She holds them in a defensive grip. Verge crawls to the sofa. Effie steps on his fingers.
No.
I just want to sit.
Not on my furniture. You already ruined my floor.
It's cold down here.
Tough.
She looks at him, a pathetic, shivering lump. She throws him a tattered quilt from the bottom of her pile.
Here.
Thank you.
Moths have pretty much destroyed that one already.
He swaddles himself up, catching his breath.
You make this?
I made all of them.
He eyes the pile, impressed.
I used to sew 10 to 12 quilts every year. About one a month.
She rubs her wrists.
Takes a toll.
Effie perches on the dusty recliner, watching, alert. Verge catches his breath. He rubs his tired eyes.
I appreciate you fixing me up, Effie. But you still never answered me.
She ignores him.
Normal person would have gone right to the cops. Normal person might even have let me die.
Giving me ideas, Buck?
I'm not keeping you here. You just ain't leaving. It's not because you can't either. You won't.
I don't.
You don't.
I don't go outside.
Well, like ever?
Not for a real long while now.
What? Long while? Like a month? Three?
His eyes plead for more information. She gives in.
Since the spring of 61.
Bullshit. 30 years?
28. May 13th, a Saturday. Oh, I remember them saying on the radio that Gary Cooper died.
Verge isn't buying it.
You're telling me you ain't been out that door for half your life.
Half would put me in my 50s. I'll take that as a compliment.
In all that time you never once walked on grass? Rode in a car? Watched the sun come up?
I see it set now and then. There's a few weeks every summer when it peeks around the Spangler house.
But why? You scared of something?
She shakes her head.
You ain't sick. Matter of fact, you seem healthier now than when I first got here. So what is it?
Verge pushes himself to his feet.
Cause if a Bible thumper like you won't even go out for church,
there's a reason. There's a big reason.
He hobbles toward Effie.
Step back.
She raises the scissors.
Someone hurt you, Effie Kepler?
She swings the scissors to hold him back. He grabs her wrist and twists it until he can wrestle the scissors away.
Tell me.
She stays silent.
Since a certain someone's not really in a wheelchair, maybe...
He stabs the air right in front of Effie's face. She jumps.
Not as funny now, is it?
He swipes again and then flops down on the sofa. He gets blood all over Effie's cushions.
So, you ain't gonna leave. And I ain't gonna leave.
Guess we'll just have to see who blinks first, huh, Effie?
He examines the scissors. They're practically antique, with ornate handles.
I've never seen a pair quite like these.
I've had them since I was a girl. They're old. So am I, I guess.
He stares at the scissors, opens and shuts them.
What will your wife think about what you did?
Ex, wife. And I don't care. She's the one who went to Ray Tucker.
It's a lot to make her live with, you know.
Yeah, she did take a vow for better or worse. Then again, the vow also said forsaking all others. So I guess her word don't mean sh.
A loud, urgent alarm screeches through the house. Verge panics. He holds his hands over his ears in distress.
Oh, my. It's the smoke alarm. Your eggs.
She hurries back to the kitchen. Smoke rises from the pan. Effie grabs a potholder, moves the pan off the flame, and throws it into the sink.
Make it stop!
Effie can't reach the smoke detector. She grabs the chili skillet from the table and swats at the alarm. She still can't quite reach it.
God, turn it off!
I can't.
He rushes in, still covering his ears. He slides Effie a chair. She stands on it and smacks the alarm with the skillet like a Serena Williams serve. It hits the floor. Verge stomps it quiet. They catch their breath. The adrenaline rush gives way to titters. It builds into genuine laughter.
Okay, sorry I freaked out.
I get it. Tommy had moments like that. He fought at Bus Stone. Can't imagine Vietnam was much different.
Guess I ruined those eggs. Pan too, looks like.
I'll soak it.
She fills the pan with water. Then, a groan. A pained, prolonged groan from another part of the house. Verge looks at Effie. Her face sinks. Verge tracks the sound into the hallway and turns toward Effie's bedroom, where he sees a door that looks like a closet. He opens it and finds a set of stairs. He heads down into a cold, dark cellar. Stark concrete floors, exposed pipes, a creaky rocking chair filled with fabric scraps, and a chugging furnace. One overhead bulb provides the only light. And, lying strapped down on an army cot, in the corner, a thin, confused old man thrashes his arms and legs. A space heater bathes Tommy Kepler, 70s, in a dim orange glow. Verge can't believe it. He tries to remove Tommy's straps. Effie thunders down the steps, loading medicine from one of the glass vials into a syringe.
Get away from him!
She moves Verge out of the way and kneels at Tommy's side. She caresses his face, speaking to him like he's a child.
It's okay. You can go back to sleep.
She lifts Tommy's sleeve and injects his arm. His thrashing stops. Tommy starts to calm down. Verge watches in shock. He can't get out a single word.
Meet Tommy Kepler?
You said he was dead.
You said he was dead. And look at him. He might as well be.
She strokes Tommy's face.
Close your eyes, baby. I'll put your music on, okay?
She turns on a record player, drops the needle on an old 45. After the initial crackle, a ballad, early 60s Nashville sound, fills the cellar. Tommy smiles, recognizing it.
This is... What? You keep this poor man tied up down here?
If I don't, he'll wander off.
She returns to Tommy's side. She strokes his face until his eyes start to close.
On that Challenger day, he took off while I was in the shower. He got all the way down to the train tracks before Judah found him.
Verge shakes his head.
Don't you judge me. He's warm and dry, gets 3 meals a day. He has music. Listen. baseball games, the Chiefs.
He's a prisoner.
He doesn't know what's going on. I keep him alive. I cook his food, wipe his... sit with him all day.
Drug him with your insulin.
It's a mild sedative. Judith puts it in old insulin vials so people don't ask questions.
Will you listen to yourself?
And it's just at night, so I can get a few hours rest, you know? No telling what he'd do if I didn't.
What can he do?
Let's see. He can put a knife in the microwave, because it did that. He can start the car with the garage door shut. He did that, too.
She makes sure Tommy is asleep.
It's why we got rid of the battery.
The song ends. Effie puts the needle back at the beginning.
I've had to listen to this same old song 10 million times, and he's the prisoner?
Effie, he should be in a home.
He's in a home. He's in his home.
You know what I mean. You just won't do it because you'd have to leave the house.
That's part of it.
And you still ain't told me why.
Shh. Listen, he's almost asleep.
Verge watches Effie watch Tommy, who starts to snore. Verge thinks things over. Then, a realization.
You're hiding out.
Hey, hush, now.
He gets the scissors out of his pocket. He plays with them.
I'm right, ain't I? You shut yourself in here so someone can't find you. Who? Oh, boyfriend?
She doesn't answer. He drags the needle across the record, scratching it.
Answer me.
No answer. He looks at Tommy.
Hey, I'll ask him then.
And he won't tell you.
Verge approaches Tommy.
Maybe he will if I do this.
He holds the scissors to Tommy's pinky, as if ready to cut.
He can't tell you.
Verge starts to squeeze the blades together.
He doesn't know. I never told him.
That surprises Verge. A slow smile appears.
Why, Effie Kepler. You must have one hell of a skeleton in your closet.
Let him be. Go back upstairs.
Nah, I like it down here now. We got us some music, some heat, a spicy mystery. I'll get the story out of you later.
He goes to the record player, sorts through a pile of 45s.
Sorry I ruined the last record.
That was Tommy's favorite.
He'll like this one.
He puts the record on, drops the needle. After the warm crackle, an early 60s R&B love song begins. Verge drags the rocking chair near the space heater. He dumps the fabric on the floor. He sits and lets the music wash over him.
My mama always loved this song. She'd hum it while doing her hair.
His voice breaks.
When did she pass?
Last winter. This is first Christmas.
He takes a breath, collects himself.
She'd always get up real early on Christmas, you know? Make cinnamon French toast. Sing carols for us. She'd drag us outside, watch the sun come up. Sunrises are the souls of the past, she'd say. Telling you to savor the day ahead. To be grateful you made it through another night.
To be grateful? You're alive.
Yeah, and to make the most of it.
Verge rocks and listens to the song, lost in nostalgia. He closes his eyes. He looks like he's about to fall asleep. Is he asleep? Effie takes a long look. She takes careful steps toward him, reaches to take back the scissors.
You're listening to Lights, Audio, Action on St. Louis Public Radio. You're listening to Lights, Audio, Action on St. Louis Public Radio. Listen to full episodes and episode insights. Go behind the scenes at stlpr.org/lights.
Effie takes a long look. She takes careful steps toward him, reaches to take back the scissors. The record skips. It's caught in a scratch, playing the same note over and over and over again. Verge's eyes open.
Figures.
He pushes himself up, lifts the needle off the record. He sorts through the stack, looking for another song. Elvis, Patsy Cline, Drifters, Brenda Lee, Buddy Holly. Effie gathers the fabric off the floor.
Hey, who's Fern?
Effie freezes.
I have no idea.
Name's written on a bunch of these old records. Fern Ellison.
Judith got those from the church. Probably someone's old collection, I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
Effie goes back to her work.
Except, same name's etched into the blade of your scissors. Which you had since you were little.
There's no name on there.
Yeah, there is. Saw it earlier. It's real faded, but...
He opens up the scissors and shows her. There's a faint etching on the inside of one of the blades.
See? Right there. Fern Ellison. Same name that's on the records. So, it's gotta be the weirdest coincidence of all time, Effie.
She's caught. And she knows it.
So, who's this Fern?
Someone I used to know.
Someone with a secret? Big enough to keep from her husband? Big enough to keep her indoors for decades?
She's long gone. Play another song.
Verge puts on a new record, a doo-wop track. He settles back into the rocking chair to listen.
This Fern, you miss her?
Effie thinks it over for a long time.
Oh yeah, something fierce.
Verge rocks in the chair as the song plays. Effie picks up the rest of the fabric pieces and folds them, one by one. Then, the lights go out. The music slows to a stop. The furnace quits chugging. The space heater's coils fade until the room goes black.
What the hell did you do?
Nothing. I think the power's out. All that wind. Hang on.
Searching. Clattering. A mechanical grinding sound. A hand crank lantern glows in Effie's hand.
If they don't get it back on soon, it's gonna get real cold in here.
With the furnace silent, they hear barking. The dogs are close. Very close. The enraged, authoritative voice of Sheriff Ray Tucker, 50s, booms in over a bullhorn.
Virgil Woodbridge!
Effie's eyes sink.
Get your ass out here before anyone else dies tonight.
I didn't call him.
You're surrounded. So step outside slow. Hands in the air.
Effie steps to the foot of the stairs. She screams up.
He says he'll cut my head off.
Verge stares at Effie, confused.
You got a hostage in there, boy?
He has a gun and an axe, Sheriff. And if you and your boys bust in...
Verge plays along.
Yeah, that's right, Ray. If you don't step back this minute, I'll chop her goddamn head off.
He mouths sorry to Effie.
Get back! I mean it!
Ma'am, has he hurt you?
I said get back!
Do what it says, please!
Okay, just play it cool. Four dead people tonight are enough.
I killed three, not four. It was three!
It's four. My little niece didn't make it. We lost that sweet angel a few hours ago. So it's four.
You shot a little girl?
Verge looks upset. Very upset. Tears well in his eyes.
Why would you shoot a little girl?
And I can't wait to haul your ass to Potosi. I'll put that needle in you myself.
Verge shakes with rage.
What on earth would drive you to shoot a little girl?
Don't!
What? Was she a score? You had to settle?
Shut your goddamn mouth!
He shoves Effie against a pillar and wraps his good hand around her neck. He catches himself mid-squeeze, letting go. He's shaking. It's scary. Scarier than Effie's seen him so far.
The girl wasn't supposed to be there. Party was for grown-ups. It should have been Missy Longworth and them other gals. God, I wanted to take from Donnie and his boys what they took from me.
We hear a faint echo of gunfire as he tells the story.
Bro, four bullets. Four. One for Missy Longworth, Shelly Ann Yates, and Benny Mack's new gal. I don't even know her damn name.
He struggles as he thinks about it.
Last bullet was for me. For me. I wasn't even supposed to walk out of there. I had a gun in my mouth.
Verge shudders as the memory of his crime floods back. The bodies of the three women lay on the floor. Verge puts the barrel of the gun between his teeth. A bathroom door behind him creaks open. Verge turns, aims the gun toward the sound, and fires without thinking.
Thought it was Donnie.
His face goes white. He sees Jesse Longworth, 4, dressed fancy in a white Christmas dress, fall to the floor, bleeding from her thigh. He rushes to help her.
No, I'm so sorry. Oh my God, I didn't mean it.
He puts pressure on the wound to stop the bleeding. Jesse calls out for her mommy, not knowing Missy lies dead just a few feet away.
It'll be okay, I promise. You're gonna be just fine, okay?
Verge sees a phone hanging on the wall. He runs to it, dials 911, and barks into the receiver.
We need help! At the lodge, hurry!
He hangs up, looks at the door, and back at Jesse. He raises his teary eyes to the heavens in silent prayer. He takes a last look at the girl and runs out a side door. Verge shakes the ghosts away and looks at Effie.
I begged God to save her. I begged that worthless God of yours for one thing, one.
He had other plans.
Yes, so did I. The last bullet was meant for me.
He's shaking, breathing hard, a total wreck.
I only got her in the leg, not the heart, Effie, not the... I got her in the leg. I shot her, and it hit her leg. You don't die from a bullet shot to the leg.
Femoral arteries in the leg.
I didn't want to hurt the kid. I didn't mean to shoot her. I didn't want her to die.
Effie puts her hand on his shoulder.
Honey, I think you need to go take your medicine.
No.
Listen.
No!
He pulls away.
I ain't giving that Ray Tucker satisfaction of hauling me in.
Offer to come out. Hands up. For anybody but Ray Tucker. In this whole thing right now, in exchange for fair treatment.
Ray won't agree to that.
He might, if I ask him.
No.
Think it over.
Effie hands him a fabric scrap to dry his tears. She cranks the fading light again.
The sheriff probably cut the power. It's already cooling off down here.
She looks back to see Verge on the floor, sawing at his dead wrist with the scissors. He's just started to break skin.
Stop it!
She wrestles the scissors away from him, slicing her palm in the process.
Let me die, Effie, please.
Not here.
She examines her cut. She blots the cut with a fabric scrap.
Ooh, if you want to off yourself in custody, that's your right. But you are not having that moment here.
Effie puts the scissors in her pocket.
So, if you even try, I'll keep your butt alive. Prolong your suffering. No, sir. You are not offering yourself here.
She lays another heavy quilt on Tommy.
The last thing I need is cops coming in and tearing this place.
She's said too much. She gives Verge the lantern.
I'm gonna go get the power back. Crank it when it goes dim.
Effie.
He tries to push himself up. She steps on his good hand.
Stay put.
Effie climbs the stairs, leaving Verge and Tommy behind. In the living room, Effie goes to the door and yells out the mail slot.
Sheriff? Hey, you hear me?
Ma'am, you okay?
We really need that power back.
He needs to come out.
He won't, not to you, but he might for someone else. St. Joe, maybe.
No, no deal.
She cries out in faux pain.
Ow! Hey! Let go of my hair!
Then waits. She watches the flashing police lights bleed through her curtains and bounce through the cluttered room.
Ma'am.
Effie returns to the mail slot.
Ooh, you've made him real mad. Please, come on. We need that heat back on.
As soon as he comes out.
Effie lets the mail slot snap shut. She takes a long breath and heads back to the basement. To find Verge where she left him, cranking the lamp, weary and shivering, wrapped in quilts.
They're sending St. Joe for you.
Verge nods. He looks relieved.
It may be a couple hours.
Effie takes the lamp, cranks it bright. She sits in the rocking chair and wraps a quilt around herself.
Look, I know you're going to have some rough days ahead.
He wipes his nose on his sleeve.
And the guilt of what you did, it ain't ever going away. Nor should it. You'll carry that burden to the great beyond. But...
He looks up, waiting. But...
It doesn't have to be all you are.
He looks confused.
They'll lock you up. Put you on trial, probably sentence you to die, but you may have some 20 years before they carry it out. So make the best of that time.
She leans over to take Verge's hand.
Learn the Bible.
Effie.
Counsel other inmates. Maybe help somebody go straight. There's a good heart in that chest of yours.
Verge shakes his head. Even he doesn't believe it.
There is. Or you wouldn't have tried to help that little girl. You'd have killed me right away. There's good in you. Come on, draw it out.
I can't undo it, Effie. I can't bring that kid back. I can't bring any of them back.
No, but you can say you're sorry. Accept your punishment and beg for forgiveness. You may even get it.
And what about you? Would you forgive me?
She thinks it over. She wipes the tears from his eyes.
70 times 7.
A gentle crackling sound. It gets louder, building to a... Water sprays out of a brittle overhead pipe. Another pipe bursts in two places. Water gushes everywhere. Whatever control Verge had on his emotions is gone. He cries out, another full-fledged panic attack. Effie sloshes across the floor. She moves boxes to reach the master valve. When she does, its wet handle won't budge.
Some help here!
Verge isn't up to it. His freakout rages on. Effie grips the valve harder. Tries again to turn it. Her arthritis and the cut on her palm make it impossible. The floor floods. Water reaches the edge of Tommy's cot.
You're a damn plumber. Help me.
Effie looks for a wrench. Can't find one. She gets the fabric scissors from her pocket and tries using them to turn the valve stem. They break apart. Effie wraps fabric on her hands and again tries to turn it without any luck. Panic sets in until gnarled fingers touch her shoulder. Verge eases her aside. He takes a small tool from his pocket and fits it over the valve with a few sharp jerks. The valve turns. The water trickles to a stop. Effie catches her breath and surveys the damage. An inch of water soaks the boxes, papers, and fabric on the floor. Effie checks on Tommy. Somehow, he's still dry. Verge, soaked to the skin, trudges up the stairs.
Where are you going? Hey!
She follows him up to the living room. Verge struggles to unlock the front door. He has the empty gun in his hand. Effie shoves him against the wall.
What are you doing?
I'm ending this.
You carry that gun out there and they'll shoot you dead.
Exactly.
Catch your breath, son, and think.
You said it yourself. I gotta take my medicine.
Not this way.
It's okay, Effie. She says once I'm gone, you can have your life back to normal.
It won't. It can't.
She cradles his head in her arms and covers his ears.
Just breathe.
What's going on?
Effie yells back.
We're fine. Stay back, please.
Verge pushes her away. He tries to open the door again.
Don't make those boys out there kill you. It's Christmas.
I'm tired, Effie.
Me too.
And I screwed up so bad.
Me too.
He's fighting her even harder to get out the door. Effie plays her one last card to get him to stop.
Fern Ellison screwed up too.
That gets his attention. He lets go of the doorknob.
You want to hear my story?
A nod.
Then step back here. I know you're set on a blaze of glory, but you need to think about something first.
She leads him toward the kitchen.
You're a poor mother.
In the kitchen, the stove's blue flame woomphs on. Effie cracks two eggs in a bowl. She whisks them runny. Verge sits at the table, staring at his blood-stained parka.
Don't forget the cinnamon.
I know.
She gets the milk out of the fridge and adds it to the mix.
All right. In the fall of 1960, Fern was bored, stuck in a brutal marriage to a degenerate pawnbroker, stuck in a dead-end job. She was a nurse at Parkland Memorial in Dallas. JFK died there in 63. Trouble came in a few years before that.
She drags three slices of bread through the goop.
What kind of trouble?
The kind with baby blue eyes and a Texas-sized smile. Fern's catnip.
Tommy? I thought he didn't know.
No. Trouble had a different name.
Stay tuned for more. Don't Go There continues on St. Louis Public Radio. From St. Louis Public Radio, in partnership with the Missouri Film Office, Don't Go There continues. This is Lights, Audio, Action.
Action!
Tommy? I thought he didn't know.
No. Trouble had a different name.
Her eyes stare into the distance as she recalls that night so long ago. It is a cold, sterile hospital ER exam room. Nurse Fern Ellison, 40s, all business, carries in a clipboard and an attitude. It's the end of a marathon shift.
J.C. Loretto.
The patient, dressed in leather, denim, and a huge Stetson, waits on the exam table.
Oh, sorry about the wait. We had a bit of a night. Open up.
Fern sticks a thermometer under the patient's tongue. Her eyes never leave the chart.
Says here you think you broke a rib. Fell off a motorcycle?
The Stetson nods.
I'll need to check your pulse and your blood pressure, so go ahead, take your head and your jacket off.
The jacket comes off first. Then the hat. Whoa. The woman on the table shakes out shoulder-length locks. J.C. Loretto, late 30s, smolders with sex appeal. Her broad smile and rich eyes draw Fern in. Fern removes the thermometer. She's staring.
So, am I normal?
Fern shakes her head no. She catches herself and reads.
98.6.
Their eyes meet.
Like I said, catnip. Something in Fern awoke that night. They stole every moment together while Fern's husband was at work. The porch light was their signal.
I wish I could fall asleep in your arms every night.
What's stopping you?
You know what's stopping me.
She grabs a framed photo from the nightstand. It's Fern's husband, a burly man holding a hunting rifle.
Leave him.
I can't.
JC strokes Fern's shoulders.
Sure you can. You say, husband, you ignore me, belittle me, and are inadequate in every way. I'm trading up for a better model.
The accounts are in his name.
So?
So? I can't afford to leave.
JC starts kissing Fern's neck.
I have an idea.
It was a bad idea, but love has a way of clouding the mind.
Fern surrenders to the kisses.
So one night, she sent the signal.
At Fern's suburban track house, dark and quiet, the porch lights come on. An engine revs. Fern slips out the door with a suitcase and a key ring. She scurries to the street as JC pulls up on the motorcycle. Fern hops on. One arm on the suitcase, the other on JC. The motorcycle rumbles down the street. Later, in the pawn shop's back office, Fern and JC sneak in with flashlights.
JC knew how to move stolen goods. Fern knew her way around her husband's shop.
Fern gets out a small makeup mirror. She holds it below the desk drawer, revealing a series of numbers etched underneath. She points to a safe on the back wall. JC writes the combination on her hand.
Keep watch. I'll load up.
Fern opens the file cabinet, gets out a pistol.
You don't need that. We'll be out of here in 2 minutes.
Just in case.
Fern takes the pistol and waits by the open office door. JC opens the safe. She finds a treasure trove of diamond jewelry and gold coins. She examines each one and loads it into a bag. Creaking. Footsteps. JC's eyes go right to the doorway. JC runs to Fern's side. The burly man from the photo lays bleeding on the floor. JC freaks out. Her breathing hits a mile a minute pace. Fern, however, is calm and cool.
We must have tripped an alarm. He came over to check.
Fern takes a closer look at the man. He's still breathing. So, she takes JC's hand.
Now, we can be together.
JC is speechless. She yanks her hand away.
If there's an alarm, we gotta go, separately, or it'll look like we've planned for this.
Are you breaking up with me?
I'm trying to save us both.
Fern cries. JC shoves the bag of diamonds and gold coins into her weeping friend's hand.
Here, use this to get as far away from here as you can. Buy her way off the grid.
Fern grabs her in a desperate embrace.
Don't leave. I love you.
I'll look for you when this all dies down, but we've got to go. Now.
JC breaks loose and runs out the back door, empty-handed. Fern wipes her tears and collects herself. She opens her suitcase and dumps the diamonds and gold coins among the clothes and her collection of 45s. She steps over her husband's body on the way out the door. A sweltering spring afternoon on a rural Texas highway. Fern hitchhikes along the road, her suitcase in hand. 3 cars blow past her without stopping. She sits on her case and sees a fist-sized rock at her feet. She picks it up and hits herself in the face with it. The impact leaves an ugly red mark and a cut on her cheek. She runs into the road and flags down the next car. Young Tommy Kepler, in his 40s, looks out from the driver's seat.
Help me, please.
What happened?
My husband, he's trying to kill me.
Before Tommy can ask...
Because he's crazy, look!
Almost on cue, blood from her cut drips down her face.
I'm going north. Where are you headed?
She gets into the car.
As far away as I can.
She pulls the door shut. The car speeds down the road. Tommy and Fern ride together in silence.
She wasn't sure what to do until this mystery man told her about his house up in Missouri.
I'm away on business all the time. You could stay at my place. He'll never find you there. Stay as long as you like. No questions asked.
I don't want to put you out.
Nah. You'd be doing me a favor. Watch the house. Maybe keep my shirts ironed. Do you sew?
He shows her a missing button on his shirt. She smiles.
A bit? But what do your wife say?
Oh, I'm not married.
Oh.
No, it's not like that. Don't get me wrong. You're pretty, but you're not my type. You know?
She gets it.
Be nice if I could tell my clients I had a woman waiting at home. Miss, what's your name?
You said no questions asked.
Fair enough. But I gotta call you something. What's your shirt say?
He reads the monogram.
F.E. Pleased to meet you, Effie. I'm Tommy Kepler.
He offers her his hand. She shakes it. Effie sets down a plate of French toast. Verge digs in.
Weeks became months, then years. Tommy was rarely home. But he was good to me when he was. And he never asked any questions.
So, whatever happened to your friend?
Effie shrugs.
Well, Effie Kepler's a killer.
Fern Ellison is a killer. Effie Kepler? Just did the time.
She picks up her Bible.
And she did what she could to make things right with her maker. I think you should do the same.
She lays the Bible beside Verge. He shoves it away.
No. I'm eating.
Suit yourself.
What? Don't worry. I won't tell anyone.
I know you won't.
Effie puts the milk back in the fridge and drops 3 now empty glass vials into the trash. She sings as she does dishes.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm.
She dries the pans and puts them away.
All is bright, round young virgin mother and child.
She looks back at Verge, still eating, but slowing down.
Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace.
Verge's head lays in his plate. He's fast asleep. Effie eases the plate out from under his head.
Sorry, I just need a head start.
She scrapes the rest of the French toast into the trash.
By the time you wake up, I'll be long gone, and you won't remember my name.
She sees the jug of drain cleaner under the sink. She looks at Verge, back to the cleaner, then up to God.
Forgive me.
She carries the jug to the table. She takes a syringe, loads it with drain cleaner, and injects a vein on the back of Verge's mangled hand. She leaves the needle in the skin. She watches and waits. Verge's eyes crack. He grabs his left arm. It burns as the poison travels up his wrist, to his shoulder, to his heart. He sees the needle in his hand, Effie's stoic face, and the jug on the counter. He figures it out.
You said you wouldn't tell, but I can't risk you changing your mind.
Pain surges through Verge's body. The look in his eyes goes from fear to understanding. He twitches, thrashes. Effie never looks away. Her eyes bore in on his last moments. At last, a final raspy gasp, then silence. As Effie draws his eyes closed, the lights come back on. Doo-wop music again echoes through the flooded basement. The furnace and the record player are back on. Effie watches Tommy sleep. She lays two quilts over him.
Tommy? Hey.
His eyes open. He's groggy, not lucid.
I think it's time for me to go.
He looks back at her, confused.
But I have to thank you for everything.
She takes his hand, squeezes it. She reveals a syringe in her hand. She prepares to inject him, but can't bring herself to do it. She empties the syringe into the water on the floor. She restarts the record.
Just go back to sleep. They'll be in to find you before long.
She kisses his forehead.
Merry Christmas.
Back in the bedroom, Effie digs the cane out from under the bed. Moving to the living room, she opens her display case and stares at the dolls.
I am so sorry, girls.
She raises the cane to reach the dolls on the top shelf and pulls them to the floor, one by one. Sky. Helena Louise. Greta. The dolls shatter, freeing dozens of diamond rings and gold coins hidden inside. Effie gathers them all up. She takes a piece of broken porcelain and tears a gash just under her chin. Moments later, Effie dangles a quilt block through the mail slot.
I'm coming out. He's letting me go.
Sheriff Tucker orders his marksmen to hold their fire.
Hold your fire!
The cold wind hits her like a punch in the face. Tucker rushes to her. He sees the cut on her chin. He offers her his handkerchief and puts his arm around her for warmth.
He let me go because you put the power back on. Bless you. You should know.
Tucker looks at her, concerned.
He has a bomb. Says if you guys don't step back, he'll send the whole neighborhood sky high.
For God's sake.
Tucker waves his team to retreat. As they do, he escorts Effie to the roadblock at the end of the street.
One of my guys is going to take you to the office for your statement.
No.
A woman in a leather jacket, heavy gloves, and snow boots steps up. Decades have passed, but Judith, or JC, still has her swagger and those rich baby blues. She wraps an arm around Effie.
She's been through enough tonight, and she needs her insulin.
Tucker looks at Judith as if to say, "Who are you?"
She can warm up at my house. I'll get her some coffee and medicine and a good night's rest. You can interview her when this is all over.
Tucker looks at Effie.
Your friend is taking you to her house. Do you understand? And your name is?
Judith Laredo. Judith Clark Laredo.
Judith helps Effie to an idling cargo van. Its exhaust swirls in the howling wind. Judith gets behind the wheel. Effie buckles herself into the shotgun seat. She tosses the cane behind her. The engine fires.
I wasn't sure you saw my signal.
I still know what a porch light means. When you didn't open up, I knew what was going on. I tipped off the cops and started packing.
Effie looks behind her. The van is loaded with boxes.
So we're not going to your house?
Not if you've got the diamonds.
Effie pulls a handful from her pocket and shows them off.
I got a buyer in Kansas City. He'll pay enough to get us far away from here. So, where to?
Somewhere warm.
Effie warms her hands on the heater, then waves to Sheriff Tucker as Judith steers around the police cars.
But, on the way, maybe we could stop and watch the sunrise.
Judith gives Effie's hand a loving squeeze. Effie turns on the radio. She switches it from the radio preacher to a station playing Christmas music. Effie wipes fog off the window and takes one last look back at her house. The flashing red and blue police lights dance across her face as she gazes through the frosty glass. The music grows fainter as the van drives away. The end.
Lights Audio Action presents Don't Go There. A housebound senior struggles to stay alive when a mass murderer takes refuge in her home on the coldest day of 84 years. Check out the full episodes and more at stlpr.org/lights. Lights Audio Action is a presentation of St. Louis Public Radio in partnership with the Missouri Film Office. Thanks for listening.